Live at CSUN 2010, this is Michael Off, and I stopped by the GNOME project table here, and I'm speaking with Brad. And that is right, GNOME, right? Some people call it GNOME, but I'm pretty sure that G is silent.
Yeah. Well, it's the historical reasons behind the G part of GNOME.
And, okay.
And so a lot of the old veterans call it GNOME, so hoping to keep that alive.
Okay, so I am wrong. I wondered that. I thought there was something to that. So the hardcore, this is something in the Linux front, right?
That's correct. The GNOME is a open source, free Linux desktop.
Okay, so talk about this in terms of our audience is predominantly blind and low vision. Mm-hmm. What features are in the GNOME desktop to assist with that?
So one of GNOME's core missions is it's for everyone. And so we provide a free open source screen reader called Orca. There's magnification support, theming for, you know, if you're low vision, you need high contrast.
You got the BRLTTY, right, to cover as many
correct.
Braille displays.
Braille displays, right. And I'm blanking on other things. But, you know, basically we try to cover all bases. There's an on-screen keyboard, switch-based access, all that kind of thing.
So which operating systems or flavors, as they say, of Linux would you find GNOME integrated into with
many,
Orca?
Many. So Ubuntu is very popular. I work at Novell, so I would say OpenSUSE is pretty popular as well. As you know, Fedora from Red Hat, there's a variety of different choices.
So how does a chooser, someone wanting to get in and play with Linux, maybe they've never worked in that operating system, how would they choose which OS would be best for them? I mean, it's one more for multimedia, one more for networking. How do you decide which one?
That's a very good question. I don't really have a good answer for that. My personal experience is I had a friend who was into Red Hat, and I got into that way, and then I found my way around. A lot of the good introductions come from friends. Other than that, I would pick one with a good community. I think Ubuntu is probably the leader in that right now. OpenSUSE also has a good support network. It's important to have people around to help out when you're new to Linux and just trying to try things out.
Now, one of my personal interests is the ability to create a bootable system that talks.
Yes.
So let's say my computer can't function. Maybe even someone has a Windows system where they can put in a CD or DVD or maybe even a USB device and have it boot and come up with the Orca speech so that they can navigate and repair the computer or do whatever they need to do. What's being done in that space?
Well, I don't know too much about that. I don't know. Mike, do you know a little about this?
Well, there are some. I mean, with the live CDs for like Ubuntu and probably OpenSUSE, you can get speech from it. There are also a couple other projects. There's one project called Vinux, which is someone's attempt to like create a configuration that out of the box will throw an Orca. It's based on Debian, which is not a Linux distribution.
Right, so
there's also a rescue CD called GRML that some people use.
But that's command line, right? That's not a graphical.
Yeah, for the.
So that's for the geeky types. I got to sit and learn the commands. And so it's a powerful system, but not for the newbie coming in that's just trying to get their feet wet and decide which one is appropriate for them.
That's more of a rescue CD, probably, more than anything else. If you want to use GNOME, you'd probably use either Vinix or one of the other live CDs.
Okay, so what about multimedia support? I know I played around with it, and I remember the first time I did, I wanted to play some MP3s, and it wouldn't play, and someone said, I was like, what do I install to make it happen? They're like, well, just go play the MP3, and then it will prompt you. So I guess there's some things that aren't included for licensing reasons, but then once you try to play or utilize that file type, then it says, hey, here's what you need to make it happen, or how does that work?
That's exactly correct. We can't legally ship MP3 codecs and other types because of licensing issues. There are patents on those codecs, and we'd be violating those patents. So we want to make sure the desktop is as free as possible, and therefore we can't ship those. However, as you mentioned, when you play the audio files, it will prompt you and tell you, look, you need to find these codecs here. It gives you a link and some easy instructions to get installed.
What about, I guess we'll call it plug-and-play device support, for lack of anything else. the ability of USB or FireWire devices to be detected automatically, or again, some kind of prompting and say, here's what you need to make this device work for you?
It's actually surprisingly good right now. There's been issues in the past, definitely. Linux has had a sort of history with plug and play. But right now, I mean, you can plug in most anything, and it's going to be recognized immediately, and usually open the appropriate program. So you plug in your camera, and F-Spot, our wonderful photo manipulation and imaging program, will load up and ready to go.
About TV recording, is there things being done on that front? Or
There is, yeah. I'm not familiar too much with that. That's not my area of expertise.
Okay.
There's definitely projects. I think Myth TV is one of them, and they do TV recording. There's a variety of cards you can use to get that happening.
So all of these operating systems are free, or some of them have cost?
So the majority are going to be free. Many companies like Red Hat and Novell are able to contribute to the open source community because they're able to sell support. And so because of that, they have a stripped down version. Novell has SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop. And Red Hat has Red Hat Enterprise Linux. And they provide support on top of the open source code, and usually they have to reduce the number of programs that are on the disk in order to make that happen.
Now, these pretty much have to be installed after the fact, right? There was a movement for a while. You could go to Walmart and some other vendors and actually buy a computer or preloaded with a Linux operating system. Is that very common anymore, or what's happening in that space?
Well, so actually Novell's have been a leader in that space. Novell is working on two fronts. So we have HP is a very, very good partner of ours, HP and Dell. You can get HP systems with SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop on a preloaded, ready to go. In their business class series.
Right, so that's more in the corporate market, right?
Correct.
So, right,
okay. On the consumer market, Novell is spearheading with Intel an endeavor called MIGO. It used to be called Moblin, and basically that's preloading our SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop on netbooks. So netbooks have become wildly popular as of late, as they're between $200 and $300, and now they come with Linux on them.
Oh, that's what I was thinking, because they started that, and then I guess either user demand, market in terms of numbers, so they went over to the Windows front. But the Linux is still an option for netbooks.
Exactly,
preloaded, yeah. So you can get it ready to go.
Correct.
And again, some new users, as long as it works, really doesn't care what's under the hood, as long as it works.
Exactly.
But what are some differences that what would you say to someone coming into this from Windows, some basics that they would need to know to kind of...
Well, the biggest issue is that Windows applications don't easily work on Linux. So they can't go to Office Depot and buy a CD and put that in a computer and be ready to go. But the thing is that we offer a full suite of applications. We offer a free word processor, free email client, all the things you normally have to pay for, those are all free. So the majority of the needs are actually already satisfied by GNOME.
So is that like the open office that you're talking about?
That's
or what?
You're okay? Office, yeah.
Very good. Well, anything else you want to cover? This sounds exciting. I want people to be aware of these options as they either get tired of fighting with Windows or they got an older computer. That's something that Linux, a lot of folks say they like. It doesn't need as intense level of resources in terms of processing power and memory and so forth. So sometimes you got an older machine, you can bring it to life with Linux and get a lot of good use out of it.
Right. So, I say just give it a shot. Try it out and, let us know how it goes.
Well, you have disks that you can run and just run it off that disk to see if you like it. And then if you do, is it hard to set up like a dual, booting operating system, say, and go either into Windows and then back to Linux and play both?
It's actually very easy. So basically, you stick a CD in, and when you install, it'll automatically recognize your Windows partition and ask you if you want to resize it and put a Linux partition there as well. And so it's very easy to do that. When you boot up, it asks you whether you're on Windows or Linux, and you pick one, and then you're good to go.
Well, very good. I hope folks will give that a... Is Orca more stable? When I played with it, and I think it was back in 08, I noticed at times it seemed like it would just shut down on me. And it wasn't a big deal. I could just restart it. But has any stability been brought forth in Orca?
Some of that, I think, is with has been with GNOME Speech. I've had problems with that myself lately, but that's going away anyway for various reasons, and there's a new package called OpenTTS, which is based on Speech Dispatcher anyway. People have made a switch to that anyway. People seem to have good luck with it.
Well, then there's a SpeakUp, right? There's another screen reader on the Kirk Reiser, the SpeakUp project?
Yeah, that's a console screen reader.
Okay, right.
Like GRML has that, and if you want to switch to a virtual console or read the command line, you might use that.
I think the other issue I had was issue with sound support, like getting my 5.1 surround. I just got the front speakers and low audio, and I played around and had difficulty there. Any tips for those of us who do a lot of work in sound?
Well, it should all be supported. The best thing to do is if you find a problem, file a bug or talk to the company that makes your distribution and see if they can help you out.
Well, very good. Thanks a lot, gentlemen, for sharing that. Check it out. What is your website?
It's gnome.org.
GNOME.org. Thanks a lot. Live at CSUN 2010 for SarahTalk.com blog and podcast and SamNet Radio. This is Michael Loff.